Welcome back to the third hour of the program on this New Year's edition of the Tobler Show. And my good friend and one of the wisest people that I know in the financial realm is Eric Robert, who presides on the Stiefel on the Money Show with Bob Stockdale every week. And I'm like the warm-up act. This show is the warm-up act, Eric, for the main event, which is the On the Money Show at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. So thanks for allowing me to warm up for you every Saturday morning. Appreciate it.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me, Randy. And, of course, I mean, what an act it is. You're a tough act to follow. I guess I'd put it that way.
No. Hey, I always love our little behind-the-scenes conversations when I probably, and you can go ahead and say it out loud if you want, over the air. Do I represent sort of your average layperson who doesn't really understand what's going on in the financial world? And, you know, I'll say, hey, look, Eric, I'll send you a news report like, oh, man, it looks like the average family income's back up to where it was pre-COVID. Man, what do you think? And then it's like, no, it's back to, you know, class with Eric. And, you know, you say, well, actually, they didn't mention A and they didn't analyze B. Am I sort of your average person who doesn't really understand the weeds like we should?
Well, I give yourself a little bit of credit. I mean, as a doctor, you certainly understand how to look at data. But then you also know how important it is to view data within context. Yeah. And that's what almost never happens whenever you're reading about particularly economic data and financial data in the news media.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a lot to talk about. I think a lot of us who were really, you know, crying in our beer most of the year, looking at our 401ks, or if you're not really thinking too much about retirement yet, as far as, oh my gosh, it's upon me, but maybe you're 25, 30, 35, and you're thinking, wow, my portfolio's really sunk down. You know, COVID took a big hit and then back. But man, the surge at the end of the year, what does it mean? Why did it happen? How do we explain that? When I thought Bidenomics was bad for us and inflation was eating us alive and the debt's so bad personally and nationally, why the stock surge?
Well, because stock markets are forward looking. And so the inflation that's already happened, the things that are in the rearview mirror, as painful as they've been and as difficult as they still are to adjust to for many consumers, the fact of the matter is they're done. And stocks in particular are priced on what we expect to have happen in the future. So you got to look at what's both happening now and then, to the best of our ability, extrapolate what that seems to portend for the future. And I don't claim to have a crystal ball under any circumstances. I can't tell you what stocks are going to do in the short term. But I can tell you the reason why they generally go up over long time is because earnings over time tend to increase, particularly for higher quality U.S. companies. And in the case of why you've seen equity markets lift so much in the latter part of this year, you've seen inflation slow down dramatically. October, November, and December CPI numbers and so forth have shown a significant deceleration in inflation, which suggests that the Federal Reserve may be able to back away from this higher interest rate environment, what's known as restrictive monetary policy that slows economic growth, sooner than investors were expecting. And we had some commentary from Fed members earlier this month at their last meeting and interest rate announcement of the year that suggested they're thinking along those lines as well.
We're talking with Eric Robert, who, along with Bob Stockdale, hosts On the Money, the Stiefel Show On the Money, right after this program every Saturday. And Eric, we're going to have Gerald Celente on, who's the Trends Journal guy, next segment. And he tends to be a sort of a doomsday kind of a guy. And I was reading his Trends Journal from just before Christmas, and he was, analyzing data from the international scene, Europe, Germany's economy slumping. China's certainly not in the best shape they've been in a while. And so I just wonder if you could sort of analyze America's economy and markets as it compares to the rest of the world. I mean, how are we faring? And is that sort of historically on average the way things go? And can we continue to count on that? Or what are the necessary conditions for America to prosper when the rest of the world may not be as prosperous?
Yeah, that's a great question, Randy. I mean, the fact of the matter is we all know we have a global economy now. So there, to an extent, the global economy rises and falls together. And that's why you see a pretty high correlation between what's happening in the U.S. economy and U.S. markets with those overseas. That being said, it's not the same thing. And this year shows a great example of that. The U.S. economy has been head and shoulders above most other economies in the world. These high interest rates with the Fed that I just mentioned previously, you have to take that into a context, not just in the U.S. economy, in the U.S. market, but because the dollar is the world's reserve currency, our monetary policy has an impact on virtually every country and economy in the world, even those that aren't trying, you know, even those of our adversaries that may not be trying to directly trade in our currency still have to deal with the reality that the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. Well, what that means is when interest rates become very high, the dollar becomes very strong, which makes dollars expensive in overseas markets. You've seen that it's more difficult for them to, in some cases, import U.S. products, and it might make it easier in some cases for us to export or import products from those other countries. But overall, you've seen the U.S. economy growing much faster than the global economy so far. Whether or not that's going to continue, I mean, the U.S. economy is slowing, and that's by design. Fed policy is trying to slow it in order to tame inflation, but it's not been impacted as much as many of those other countries that you mentioned previously. Some of that's regulatory nature. Some of it has to do with the nature of the governments involved and how they attempt to manage their economies. And some of it also just has to do with structural differences. The U.S., you know, I would never bet against America. We've got the best natural resources, the best labor market, you know, best technology, and the best companies tend to all be rooted here in America. So that's a difficult stack to beat.
I know, Eric, you have a couple of late Christmas presents, you know, in terms of some fun things that are unfolding with IRS regs and different things that we want to get to that people should listen to regarding their own personal finances and some opportunities. But one more thing. I saw a report that Iran and Russia are not going to be trading with the U.S., or is it trading with the rest of the world in U.S. dollars to sort of, you know, just extend off of what you were just saying? There, we keep hearing this, that China wants their currency to be the world reserve. Other countries are, you know, trading with China in China's currency. Is that all just rhetorical smoke and mirrors for their own domestic consumption, you know, politically? Or is there something there that's a real threat on the world stage to us being the world's reserve?
You know, I don't know how much of a threat it is to us being the world's reserve currency. If you're, you know, here's the thing. I am not an expert on Iran policy. Nobody's calling me from the State Department to determine how we're, you know, handling sanctions or what have you. But when you look at the reason why, in this case, Iran and Russia in particular are now wanting to trade in their local currencies, well, it has everything to do with U.S. sanctions as a result of foreign policy. And, you know, if you make it from the U.S.'s perspective nearly impossible for them to trade or use those funds that they're accessing via trade, because they have to go through international banking systems that are all, you know, at a high level regulated by the U.S. and its allies, I guess I would understand why Iran and Russia wouldn't want to participate in that as much as possible, because they're trying to trade with one another. I don't see any evidence that it's a huge existential threat to the U.S. economy or the dollar's reserve status. If it was, I think you'd see more of a response from markets. This issue with BRICS countries and Iran and Russia wanting to trade in local currencies has been going on for months and months, and I'd say even years. This isn't a new concept, and yet there's a lot of saber rattling and fear in the headlines. Yeah. It just never materializes to a market impact.
Okay. That's the thing. You know, I mean, we get these reports, and those of us who don't really understand, so like you said, the context and historically, that okay, maybe nothing really new here. It's just being reported again. And okay, got it. All right. And I know you're going to be covering some of these things in the show today and in the new year, but inflation's really hurt everyone. I don't go to the store very much, but my wife asked me to pick up some stuff, and Eric, I couldn't believe it. I think it was a head of lettuce, some shaved Parmesan cheese, some stuff to make some Caesar dressing. I love Caesar. Thing of anchovies. I think there may have been some package of bacon, maybe a thing of milk. Eric, it was actually one and a half of these little plastic bags from the supermarket. $35, my friend, $35. And yet I hear some of the apologists for the Biden administration saying, you know, well, hey, inflation's down to almost normal levels. What do you got? You know, things are good. They're getting better by now. I mean, inflation has an impact. I don't see prices going down. So inflation has hurt all of us. It's there. But there's some silver linings there. What could that be?
Well, yeah, one of the silver linings with inflation is many of the contribution limits that we have for various types of retirement accounts, as well as our income tax brackets, are indexed for inflation. So that means when inflation goes up, the amount of leverage or the amount of flexibility that you have as a consumer may be going up as well. If you apply that to IRAs, for instance, your modified adjusted gross income, which is the maximum amount of income that you can have while still taking an IRA deduction, has increased or will be increasing effective next week from what is today for married filing jointly. If you have to earn less than $116,000 in order to get that tax deduction on a traditional IRA, that's now going to be $123,000. You see similar things for Roth IRAs. Ooh. Those are tax-free retirement accounts, which are often great for younger earners or people who are in lower tax brackets. That for married filing jointly couples, your income threshold to contribute directly to a Roth was $218,000 for this year in 2023. That's going up to $230,000 next year. And you can contribute more next year. Now, because of the Secure Act, which you may have heard about over the last several years, now the actual contribution limit for various types of accounts is indexed to inflation. So IRAs that were in 2023 limited to $6,500 for your total maximum contribution per person, it's now going up to $7,000. That means it's more money that you can save on a tax deferred basis.
Yeah. So the Roth IRAs aren't talked about a whole lot. Everyone thinks about sort of the deferred tax, you know, regular 401k kind of thing. But the Roth thing is really something that, you know, may or may not be the right thing, but it can be something that shouldn't be forgotten, right?
Absolutely. The Roths are one of the best planning tools for many Americans. So if you're younger, even if you're a higher earner, what you're doing is you're paying the taxes up front, and then that money grows 100% tax-free for the rest of your life. So the longer you can leave it invested in that Roth account, the more impactful that lack of any tax liability in the future can be.
And with America's debt going up and up and up and up, and the service on that debt, I mean, can't imagine the taxes are going to be going down significantly over the next decades. All right, so New Year's coming, and I told you when you said you wanted to talk about this I got to check with my wife. I think we have a little left over in some college savings accounts for the kids. There's some new opportunities there coming the new year.
There are. So this goes back to the Secure Act again, effective January 1st of this year, or January 1st of this coming year, 2024. The leftover funds in a 529 plan. So a 529 plan is a college savings account that many people have used to help fund college as well as K-12 expenses in more recent years. Well, the problem was if you had those funds left over, college is all paid for, and you don't have another beneficiary to give the funds to, what are you going to do with them? You might have to pay penalties or taxes to use those funds for other purposes. Well, now, if you have a 529 account for a given beneficiary, it must be open for at least 15 years, and then the assets can be converted to a Roth IRA for that beneficiary. And that's a huge relief for many parents and grandparents who were reticent to put money in college savings accounts because they were worried, what happens if the child gets a scholarship, if the child winds up not going to this particular school or not needing this money? Am I just wasting it or going to wind up paying a penalty? That doesn't have to be the case now.
Super good. And finally, IRAs. I mean, you know, people want to try to, you know, plan for retirement if there is a little extra cash laying around. When does that deadline come? Is it tomorrow at midnight for making a contribution for this year?
There are some accounts that are tomorrow at midnight, and good luck getting those deposits in if you didn't get them done already. But IRAs in particular, traditional and Roth IRAs, as well as certain other types of retirement accounts like simples and so forth, you have until you file your taxes or the tax filing deadline. So call it April 15th or sooner if you file your taxes sooner and don't want to have to amend them. So if you didn't get your 2023 IRA contribution in, or maybe you didn't get all of it and you didn't maximize it, you can still do that up until the point that you file your taxes for 2023. And same thing for a Roth IRA. There's also the opportunity let's say you contributed directly to a Roth IRA, turns out you made more money than you were expecting to, so you're over that limit. If you work with a good partner, a company like Stifel, we can help you recharacterize those contributions so they're set up correctly before you file your taxes in the coming year.
Cool. Does this apply to the SEP too? Can the SEP be filed until tax filing?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. April 15th of the year following your contribution year, assuming that your tax filing deadline. Hey.
Good to know, because I get a lot of anxiety this weekend every year. The day, January 30th, 31st, it's like there's so many things not to mention the gift cards that expire that are 2 years old or three. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's
awful, yeah. All right. Hey, Eric, thanks so much, man. What's on tap today on the show?
We're doing our annual true up of all the predictions that were made about 1 year ago about where we were going to land with the market at the end of this year. And you get to see exactly how wrong all of those prognosticators are. And then, of course, a review of all the new surveys that have gone out for where we're going to be in the next year. And we can remind you to take all those with a shaker of salt as well.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Hey, sounds like a lot of fun. We'll be listening to you and Bob at 9 o'clock this morning, right after the show. Thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate it. You and yours have a healthy and happy New Year. All right. Take care. Coming up, Gerald Celente from the Trends Foundation, publisher of Trends Journal. You won't want to miss this. If you haven't had some coffee, take it now because you're going to need it to keep up with him. Be right back. Well, thanks for coming back with us. It's 8:26, and it's always a real pleasure and privilege to talk to Gerald Celente. And of course, Gerald is the Trends Research Founder and Trends Journal Publisher. And Gerald, thanks for being with me. I know it's a busy time of year for you as you review where we're at and predict where we're going to be in the future. Everything well with you, my friend?
Well, I guess everything's well, but everything is so sad when you look at the decline of this society and what's happened to this country. You know, I love the old jazz, And I was Googling some stuff up, and it came up with Soundies, music, black music from the 1940s. Boy, you should see the way these cats are dressed, man. And the sound, the style, the rhythm, the beauty, the dress. And now you look at this society as a whole, and it's just gone down it's so sad. I just turned 77 years old, and I've been around, and to see how what's happened to this country and where it's going, it breaks my heart.
Well, you have just a few years on me, but growing up in the music business and playing on dance band stages and Broadway musicals here at the Fox Theater in St. Louis, I listened to the American Songbook, and so much because that's what I grew up playing. And I think it spoke of a time when America respected itself. Americans respected one another. There were guardrails on behavior. And it seems like all that's gone out the window. And it's, hey, whatever I want to do, I want to do. I don't care if I'm climbing over you and stepping on you. Doesn't bode well for us, does it, Gerald?
No. This is the way things are going. It's not well, one of our top trends for 2020. Four is World War III. It already began when Russia invaded Ukraine. And again, people have no idea. We've been writing about this stuff since it happened. The United States overthrew the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in 2014. And what led up to all of this? Nobody knows about the deal that was made between Gorbachev, the former head of the Soviet Union, and Bush Sr., that, quote, NATO would not move one inch further. That's a quote. And there were 16 NATO countries. Now there are 31. So we understand, totally against what happened. Totally understand why. But World War III began with that. and now the Israel war escalating, and World War III. It's in front of our eyes. We got maniacs in charge in a country near you.
Yeah, it's crazy. I did want to talk a little about the economy because, you know, we saw a lot of turbulence in this this cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. It just seems like a smoke and mirrors thing to me. I don't know. I know I read about it, and I want to hear your comments from Trends Journal, but I read about it in their most recent one. But also this, the impact of AI. I mean, we keep hearing about this soft landing, a soft landing. Everything's going to be fine, folks. I'm reading in your Trends Journal what I've been thinking. We could be looking at a stealth recession or worse coming our way. What say you?
Well, on to the economy. It's as long as the lower they keep dropping interest rates, the cheaper money's going to be, and they're going to keep artificially building it up. And they lower interest rates in the run up to the presidential reality show. Excuse me, and that's all it is. It's a reality show. And they, you look at who's the Fed head, Janet Yellen. What was her last job? I mean, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, rather. Janet Yellen. What was her last job? Oh, she was the head of the Federal Reserve. Wait a minute. You're telling me the head of the Federal Reserve is our Treasury Secretary? You see who's running the country? I mean, you got to really be deaf, dumb, and blind not to see this. So anyway, they're going to keep her in there. So they're going to keep lowering interest rates to jack up the economy. And they want to keep the people in power in power. But that's going to be very bullish for gold. But we think gold prices are going to skyrocket this year. Again, the only reason gold prices are weak, well, there are a lot of reasons. They rigged the market, and that's not a lie. That's not made up. That arrogant company called J.P. Morgan Chase was only fined, what, $900 million for rigging the precious metals market? It was back in 2018. Oh, they've only been admitted to five felonies. Hey, I'm J.P. Morgan Chase. How much you want? Get out of here. Here's a couple of bucks. Leave us alone. So, you know, again, the bankster bandits are in charge. The military-industrial complex, the geeks, and the drug dealers. They call them Big Pharma, excuse me. That's who's running the country. So going back, the only reason the dollar is strong is because interest rates were so high. The lower interest rates go, the weaker the dollar gets, and this is going to be the beginning of the death of the dollar, the higher gold prices go. So that's what we see happening.
Okay.
And as for the economy, they're going to artificially juice it up. We have an article, one of the top trends for 2024 by Gregory Mannarino, Money Junkie's Paradise.
Hmm. Okay, well, let me ask you this. So you've got an economy where they've artificially changed the reality of the money supply and the amount of availability. We see personal debt going up and up and up, Gerald. Last year, I mean, we were $1.1 trillion in just credit card debt. And then last week, I guess it was last week, I saw what I'd already read in the Trends Journal about, you list a page and a half, of businesses making massive layoffs. One of the prominent ones, Hasbro, 1100. Let's see, Creative Hasbro. What does Hasbro do? They create toys. What does AI do? They create wonderful things too, they say. Is AI an existential threat to the labor market and ultimately our economy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's AI. We own you. I mean, we had forecast back in 1999 that the dot-com bust would happen by the second quarter 2000. It did. This is very different than the dot-com stuff because they were making up stuff back then. It didn't make any sense. This is real. It's real. As I said, there are four powers that run this country, and one of them is the geeks. You know, they got this wrong. They misspelt it in the King James Bible. They said the meek shall inherit the earth. The geeks have inherited the earth. Look how addicted everybody is to their cell phones, the kids on everything. Again, when I'm talking about the decline of society and you being a jazz cat and understanding what it used to be and the glamour and the bands and now it's dead. Everything's synthesized crap. And by the way, why are you asking me these questions? How's Taylor Swift doing? All right? That's the mainstream media. I got to hear about this crap.
You're right. Okay. Well, okay. So as long as we're talking social media, our children no longer live in a real world. They don't go out and play. They don't go find an empty sandlot and do some, we used to call it Indian ball. Of course, we can't do that now. That was basically make up your own rules for some sandlot baseball, tape up your sticks and play some street hockey, and just, make some artificial nets. They live in their virtual world of social media. And now, deep fake, news reporters, anchors, the people that they're supposedly friend with are actually AI created. I'm concerned, man. I'm just concerned about what our kids. Yeah.
Well, here's one of our top trends of 2024, the synthetic devolution.
Oh,
the devolution of society.
Wow.
And it's in front of everybody's eyes. That's one of our top trends.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been writing for 40 years, and I'm writing a thing, and I said to the guy, I said, put this in chat. Boy, it came back. I said, wow, this is great. They made some good changes here. And then we kept doing it. Now we send out letters to our subscribers with the new, the Trends Journals are weekly. They can put it into chat. The language that you're using and the references you are doing are not proper. Five paragraphs of telling us how we should rewrite this in the way that they want us to do it. That's how much it's changed.
Yeah. Well, and who's going to know anymore what to believe, especially as we go into a very, we say it every time that, hey, this is a really important election cycle. This may be the isn't there really some truth to it this time, Gerald? I mean, this election cycle could change this country forever.
Well, yeah, look at this. I mean, what are you going to vote for, Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck? I mean, look at a clown show. I mean, I had enough of both of them, they're not going to, if Trump gets elected, the country will be so divided. If Biden gets elected, we got a dead guy walking. It's a joke. There's no third parties allowed. This is America that brings freedom and democracy to countries all over the world. While you got two gangs running the show for what, since the Civil War? If you don't got a lot of dough, you can't run. Look at the money that these rich people throw in and all of these PACs and all this other stuff. If you don't have a lot of dough, you don't go anywhere. And not only for the president. Look at the clown show that we had in the midterm elections in 2022. You got that little arrogant boy over there in Texas, Beto O'Rourke. Another clown show up in Georgia, Abrams. $100 million, both of them spent to run for governor and lost. $100 million.
Yeah, well. Well, let me ask you. Let me ask you this, though. So don't you think, though, that enough people share your disgust with the Uniparty that there might be a lane for a No Labels or a Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? I mean, are you think it's just not going to happen?
I was supporting RFK. I launched Occupy Peace, and I had a rally here last May. And Dennis Kucinich was his campaign manager, and he was our speaker. And I donated the maximum to RFK Jr. because he was against the Ukraine war and on and the other things he was saying. And I spoke with him as well. And I got my money back because he's totally supporting the Israel war. Made a comment that, this is not the exact comment, but the Palestinians are the most spoiled people or something like that. I mean, it's genocide being committed in front of our eyes. And again, as I said, don't call me an anti-Jew. I'm not anti-American because I hate Americans' wars. Because one of our top trends for 2024 is going to be, we call it Crusades 2000. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on now. That other little clown boy, little arrogant, warmongering freak that couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag, Lindsey Graham, he called this is a religious war. Oh, it's a religious war? Why am I getting involved in this war? This is Crusades 2000. People have no idea about the Balfour Declaration. His Majesty's government, this is 1917, right after World War One, after they threw the Ottoman Empire, they got it out of there. The British moved in, right? This is not the exact language, but very close. His Majesty's government declares the Jewish people can settle in Palestine, and we will do our best endeavors to achieve this objective. Hey, wait a minute. His Majesty's government, some murderous little clown over there in the UK. Oh, the sun never sets on the British Empire. We are slaughtering people all over the world. Who are you to declare this, what should go on in Palestine? Who are you to declare this? And then, okay, that's the beginning of Crusades 2000, and they're calling this a religious war. Well, I'm an American. Oh, by the way, I believe in a guy by the name of George Washington, whose farewell address warns the American people, do not become involved in any foreign entanglements, have no love for a nation, no hatred for a nation, because if you have either, you'll be a slave to that nation. Yeah, that's George Washington. Our founding fathers, this stuff has been going on for centuries, they said. We don't get involved in this. Again, the military-industrial complex, look what they just passed, a budget of almost $1 trillion as the country's rotting in front of our eyes. Dwight D. Eisenhower, 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, a real man, 2-term president, warns the American people that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children, and here we are. Can you imagine if we put these trillions and trillions of dollars into this country and into research and development? Oh, we'd have a real clean energy, not this stupid EV crap. And that's another one of our top trends, EV, FU. This is stupid junk. This doesn't solve anything.
Okay, so lots of problems going on. I can't recommend highly enough for folks that they check trendsjournal.com, get a subscription, catch on to what's going on in the world. Great analysis of where we are, where we're going. And Gerald Celente has been doing this long, long time, and it's been so fun to talk to you. I appreciate the visit today, Gerald. And hey, there's some good news, though. The electric vehicle sales are down. The dealerships are telling the manufacturers we don't want any part of it. There's some good news there, huh?
Yep. We need a renaissance. That's what we need. Bring back the glory of America.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it so very much. Have a great
Thank
New
you.
Year.
Happy
All
New
right.
Year.
There he, you too. There he is, Gerald Celente. He doesn't get worked up, does he? Let me know what your reaction is to Gerald's thoughts about our future. And if you need some Prozac, let me know. We'll just sign up with Body of Health and we'll get you taken care of. 314-912-1019 as we wrap it up here on the Tobler Show. Stay there. Hey, thanks for being with us all year. Station continues to just exponentially grow thanks to you, the support of our sponsors, obviously station management, who and all of the folks you hear that just have so much investment in their various different ways in what you hear on the airwaves here. Really appreciate your support. There's just nothing quite like talk radio, in my opinion. I was talking with someone that had heard me talk about Jordan Peterson, one of my favorite psychologists. Well, he's my favorite, one of my favorite intellectual guys that you hear on the Daily Wire here. And he's got a podcast and you read his book, 12 Rules for Life and stuff. But he was talking with a woman who wrote a book called This Is Your Brain on Birth Control. But at any rate, he said the three advances in the 21st century, the 20th century were the transistor and the birth control pill and the atomic bomb. But the transistor, I remember as a kid, I would put the little transistor radio under my pillow and sneak it under there. I hope my mom's not listening now. Dad might be listening in heaven. I don't know. But mom, I don't know. Hope she's not. Well, it's no secret. They would catch me, you know, when I was supposed to be sleeping after the homework was done, listening to the Cardinals, listening to whatever on talk radio. And after that, it was, you know, Art Bell or some of the great talkers that you heard overnight. So we thank you for supporting talk radio. Hope you enjoy it as well. Nothing like the spoken voice. You can have all your digital. I love it. You can watch us on YouTube and on Facebook, and you can do the Twitter. And I'm at Randy Tobler MD. That's great. But sometimes it gets in your head and you get distracted because there's so much coming at you. Whereas you and I having a conversation is very, very cool. Appreciate you listening. So there was some good news out of the Trumposphere today. This week. And here's what Donald Trump had to say about his thoughts about education policy should he be elected. Listen.
As our nation has seen for the past 3 years, the need for freedom and education has never been greater. And that is why, as your 47th president, I will fight for parents' rights and universal school choice in every state in America. And we will win. Countless studies have shown that school choice increases school accountability to the parents, and it leads to higher graduation rates, lower costs, higher test scores, safer classrooms, and greater parental involvement.
There you go. I mean, that's the kind of rhetoric, along with border security rhetoric, and, you know, basically espousing parents first, children first, gummit out my way. You know, that gummit, they get in our way all the time when it comes to education. But government in the way of illegal aliens trying to come across the border, right? I mean, there's a proper place for government when it comes to defense, border security, law and order, a court system that actually works but isn't weaponized against the opposition. That's been another major trend. We didn't get to talk about that with Gerald Celente. By the way, I had to talk. Jerome is still with us. I had to talk Jerome off the ledge after listening to Gerald. He's a young man. Started, you know, on his way up here in this career and in life. You're okay now, right, Jerome? I had to spend most of the break talking you off the ledge there.
I'm okay, all thanks to you.
Okay, well, I mean, I was worried about you because Gerald, man, you listen to Gerald and you think the sky's falling. Christ. But there is hope. I mean, we elect people who recognize the proper role of government. We should elect them. This is the cycle when we need to do it. And you know, that everything works out well. The citizens agree to elect a central government, whether it's a local central government, a state government, but a government with authority over our lives to maintain a civil and ordered society. But we restrict the impact of government on our lives, and we've lost our way that way. It's just the compass is spinning wildly, you know, just crazy, like one of those Twilight Zone movies. But you hear people like Trump say, like, okay, yeah, we got to have our borders. Without border, you don't have a country. Check. Education choice. Check. So good for him. Good for him. And I think people, maybe with the right messaging, and if he can stay out of his own way and go over hyperbolic off the roof, just crazy, some of the stuff he says, I think there could be a good way forward for him. But look, people are ready for some change. Pessimism is at record levels, according to a CNBC survey. Here it is.
Those who are optimistic now and for the future, just 15% now. And for the year, now, by the way, this is up a little bit on the quarter, but this is the year for the average. 66% being pessimistic now and for the future is a record high in the 17 years we've been doing this. So we've never found people more depressed.
Okay, you know, I mean, it's a problem, right? I mean, people are just, yeah, maybe the inflation is settling down, but what about the impact of profligate government spending? Yes, during Trump's administration, the Democrats are right there. Democrats and Republicans locked arms, decided to just print money, borrow it from China, whatever it took, to just give people money. Now, when the government damages a small business, when a government puts you out of work on the government fiat policy, after a government-sponsored lab lets things go crazy in China, yeah, right. Yeah, the government owes you some recompense. Absolutely, they do. But why did people who kept on working need money? Why did anyone who wasn't directly and materially harmed by the government need money? Money flowing like water out of the spigot into everyone's bank. Well, not everyone's bank account. Another redistributionist policy. We got a caller. Jerome, saw you on the... Who's on the line?
We have Mr. Ray calling in. He'd like to talk to you real quick if we have the time.
Yeah, we do. And by the way, hey, I have to give, yeah, Mr. Ray, good to talk to you, but I have to give a shout out for Nash, who called earlier. We were talking about Wonderful Life and Jimmy Stewart's movie. And he reminded us that, Nash reminded us that Mr. Kruger's Christmas is a great Jimmy Stewart movie. It's actually from 1980. I believe I checked it out. You can stream it on Amazon Prime if you have Amazon Prime Video, by the way, right now. And I'm probably going to do that this weekend, Helene and I. So we'll do that. Go ahead, Mr. Ray. You got about a minute, my friend.
Well, hey, Randy, I'm actually, you named me John the First many years ago, so first of all.
Oh, how you doing? John the First, how you doing?
I'm doing well, as usual. So I hope you and your family are doing fine. Yeah. Have a great Christmas. Right. Happy New Year to everybody. Yeah. And hey, basically, you and I have talked many times and disagree on about everything. We talk border control, right? You know, what happened to the wall that Trump was going to build and Mexico was going to pay for? And I totally agree.
Oh,
no,
he
open border.
Yeah, he didn't deliver on that. Now, he met some obstruction from the Congress. But you're right. He didn't deliver on that because Trump overpromises. He overpromises and underdelivers.
Well, okay. Yeah. On everything. Here, if you want to stop people coming across the border, there's a reason why they come across the border. Some of it's policy, but most of them are looking for jobs. A lot of the illegals will work for companies that are willing to pay them under the table. So until we start cracking down on businesses that knowingly hire illegals, there's still a reason for them to come across the border.
Okay,
so
great.
If you do that,
thank
if you,
you
do
John.
That with signs. Go ahead.
Thank you very, very much. Look, I think you and I agree wholeheartedly. There's a toxic bedfellow relationship between big ag, big corporate America, some small businesses that want cheap labor. This is George Bush's fault. This is also the minimum wage's fault for raising wages so high for entry jobs. They shouldn't be that high artificially. But anyway, hey, we're out of time. Happy New Year. Hope you'll touch base with me in the future. Thanks very much. All right, that wraps it up for the Tober Show this edition. We wish you and yours the healthiest and happiest of New Year's. Remember, faith, family, freedom, and a return to our constitutional roots are the way back to true north for this country. And we'll be keeping an eye on them in 24. Hope you'll join me then. Thanks, Jerome. Thank you all. We'll see you next time.